center. Is anyone here planning coming to the shir this evening on Kashrus?
What time is it?
9:30. Could someone tape it for the or record it? I'm sorry, for those who can't make it. Is that okay?
Yeah, try
what? Okay, so one of these recorders. Is that it? Okay. Last time we were discussing the Gemara on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, that the Gemara was searching for why Rav Shimon ben Asya changed the language of Rav Shimon HaTimni, what nafkamina practically is there between the two formulations. If we pass like Rabbi Akiva, isn't every Eina Ro'il Kayima also a woman She'ein Bahavaya? And the conclusion of the Gemara was that we have a weak Chiyuv Aseya, which is only on the Kohen Gadol, and the din of Be'ula Le Kohen Gadol, that would be a situation where, according to Rav Shimon HaTimni, there would be a Knas, because there is Havaya. Masha'en Ken, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, there would not be a Knas, because it's an Isha She'en Aroi L'Kayimah. Correct? That was the bottom line. And we asked, well, how could that be an Ukimta? We need a Basula. And here we're dealing with a Ba'ula. So we saw Rashi set it up as an Ukimta of Shalok Kedarka, Nivala Shalok Kedarka, and assuming that such a woman is Aser to a Kohen Gadol. And Rabbeinu Chananel set it up as the Nukimta of Bulas Atzmo. Namely, that we're dealing with when the onus occurred, she was a Basula, but post the onus, now she is Aser to the Kohen Gadol. And we asked, why did each of these Rishonim learn the way they learned? And Lechora, we understood Rabbeinu Chananel that this world of Nivala Shalok Kedarka is a Machlokes Tanoim. According to Rav Meir, Be'etzem, this woman is muteret to a Kohen Gadol. She is ruil a Kohen Gadol. She can marry her and live with her at Me'a Be'esrim, the Isha Shnifala previously Shalok Kedarka. And therefore, Rabbi Nochananel didn't want to set up the Gemara that would only work out according to certain Tanoim, not according to other Tanoim. It wouldn't work out according to Rav Meir. However, we asked, why didn't Rashi learn like Rabbeinu Chananel? And so up to this point, what we suggested was that Rashi had a principle that the psul that we're talking about has to be a pre-onus psul as opposed to a post-onus psul. That the psul, the Eina Ro'il Kayima, that name, that status, has to apply to the woman before she is ne'eneset, rather than that status entering into the picture post the onus, which it does according to Ben Ochanano. One could say that this is simply Rashi just viewed this as reality, but without any reason. What we wanted to suggest is perhaps this is totally in the background of why there would be a connection between Isha She'en Aroi L'Kayima and the Knas. We pointed out that even though we, the Mishnah Paskins, there's no connection, but Rav Shimon ben Manasseh and Rav Shimon HaTimni view that there is a connection. So we said either they understand that we're dealing over here with a miut, that the Torah uses the phrase "Lo tiyeh le'isha" to lower the set of women to whom the knas applies, to exempt certain women. That's one way of understanding. Or they understand that we have over here a package deal, that whenever the Torah gives us two factors, the two factors are intrinsically connected. We pointed out are two ways of learning the sugi on Daf Kaf Tes Amud Beis, machokis between Tosus and the Meiri on one hand, the Ritva and Tosus Rid on the other hand. That may also be the background behind the machokis between Rav Shimon ben Asya and Rav Shimon HaTimni. And perhaps this is what's behind, over here, the machokis between Rashi and Rabbi Natam. According to Rashi, we're dealing with a set of women who are exempt from knas. We have a miut, below tiyeh le'isha. L'chora, these women are the women who are pre-ones. Namely, that this set of women, if an ones occurs to them, then there's not going to be a knas. So we're dealing with a set of women that exists before the ones. Masha'en Kain, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he would take the approach we have over here, a package deal. What does it mean, a package deal? That when Chazal, when a bezdin wants to be machayev a knas, it has to be a woman with whom the bezdin can also create a lotia leisha. When does the bezdin get itself involved in the picture? When does the bezdin give the onesh? It's post onesh. After the onesh, then bezdin looks at the situation and said, "Oh, this woman is not permitted to this man. Therefore, she's not going to get the knas." Namely, they're viewing things post facto. They're viewing things afterwards. And if we're dealing over here with the miut, l'chora the miut applies to the set of women, and the set of women is pre-ones. If we're dealing over here with the package deal is to have an onesh. The onesh is given by Bezdin post the onesh, and post the onesh, here, according to Ben Hananel, now we have a woman who is enor l'kaima. We suggested that as a possibility, but Menachem Davidson pointed out that we stopped reading Tosas too early. We should have continued in Tosas, because l'chora, Tosas himself gives us the background as to why Rashi would be cholik on Rabbeinu Chananel. Not say taking back what we said, but there could be other reasons as well. That Tosas points out that in Aboy Yevimto, we find the statement of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Anusas Atzmo, and where the star is in Tosos, Anusas Atzmo, Futas Atzmo, Lo Yisa, V'im Nasa, Nasui. Namely, this is the Machokes Amoraim over there. Not everyone agrees with Rav Ashi. Lehefech, we'll see in the Ritva that his Rabosav didn't pass him like Rav Ashi. The Rambam doesn't pass him like Rav Ashi. But Rav Ashi himself, and Rav Ashi usually is Sof Hora, Rav Ashi held that here we have an anomaly. That even though normally by Isurim on a Kohen, we have a double Isur. A, lo Yisa, and B, if Yisa, Yigaresh. A Kohen marries a Grusha. We said that's an improper marriage. You never should have gotten married in the first place. And this Kohen now should divorce his wife. They're living in sin. We have a double problem. When a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, Hu Hadin. When a Kohen marries a Bu'ulas Acher, Hu Hadin. All of a sudden, by Bu'ulas Atzmo, we say, Inachinami, he shouldn't marry her, Lo Yisa. But if he marries her, they can remain married, Ad Me'a Ve'esher. No one's going to coerce the Kohen Gadol to divorce this Bulas Atzmo. So over here, this phrase raised questions about the status of this woman. What can we say about this woman in terms of Roi L'Kayim or Eno Roi L'Kayima? Under what category would she fit? Or could she fit? Again, we're looking in our Gemara for a woman who is Eno Roi L'Kayima, and would be and yet the v'cholza would have havaya. In other words, that she could get married, but ain't a roi l'kayima. This bu'ulas atzmo, is she roi l'kayima or ain't a roi l'kayima? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, she's ain't a roi l'kayima. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel says. This is a nachimin in our sugya. However, Rashi could say such a woman is post facto, right? V'di'evet, she's roi l'kayima. So Tosfos goes out of his way to explain Rabbeinu Chananel. Mikol makom kevin lo chatchila lo yisa lo chashiva ruy lekayima. The high lo yisa have min hatorav v'afal gavdim nasa nasui v'chule. The bottom line is lo yisa. That if we want to know roy lekayima or not, we'll look at the lo chatchila. Should he get married to her? In achinami, Rabbi Nochanan will certainly learn that way. But there's no reason that Rashi has to agree with such a perish. Rashi could say that ain't a roy lekayima means a woman whose marriage is always going to be in a, you know, it's a problem, a continual problem. That's Enoroi L'Kayimah. The fact that we have a split second problem, that doesn't mean it's Enoroi L'Kayimah. So that could be why Rashi disagreed with Ben Hananel. Or, what did this phrase, Im Nasa Nasri, push many Rishonim to say? Do we ever find an Iser de Oraisa, which is only going to be L'Chatchila? That the Torah tells us, don't eat Chametz on Pesach. But if you eat it, not so bad, right? We have other issues in the Torah. Don't eat basar v'chalav, right? But once you already cooked it, okay, you can eat it. Do we find such things in the Torah? Normally, l'chatchila is a point to what level of Yisur do we have? Maximum an Yisur d'rabbanan, a midas chasidus, but not an Yisur d'oraisa. There's such a Tosfos in Gittin, on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, it says, we never find an Iser l'chatchila midoraisa. If we have an Iser doraisa, by definition, it's b'di'evet. And so there are Rishonim, among whom we can count whom, who's mentioned in Tosfos? At the end of Tosfos? Rabbeinu Tam lo pirish. Rabbeinu Tam understood that the Gemara over there is that the Bulas Atzma was only Asur Drabbanan, because had it been Asur Doraisa, it would have been like all the other Isurim Doraisa, that it would have been both Lechatchila and B'diavad. We wouldn't have distinguished. So we have over here really three reasons why Rashi would not learn like Rabbeinu Hananel. Even assuming Rashi had in front of him the Perish Rabbeinu Hananel, he could say, I don't like this Perish. Firstly, that din is Drabbanan. We're looking for a din Doraisa. We're looking for Velotia Laisha, a woman who is Enaroy Lekayama Midoraisa. Even if it's Midoraisa, who says that's called Enaroy Lekayama? It's just an Easter, temporary Easter. Don't marry, but once they're married, they live happily ever after. Classically, Enaroy Lekayama, all the other situations are Isurim that are continuous Isurim. And thirdly, firstly, maybe it's Drabbana. Secondly, maybe it's Enaroy Lekayama. And thirdly, what we said last week, that if you're going to have an Iser Doraisa, which in a regular Kayimah, it has to precede the Onus. That status has to be on the woman pre-Onus. It can't be something that comes in post-facto. Okay, so Rashi has a lot of reasons to disagree with Rabbeinu Hananel.
In the third reason,
yeah?
why would that be something that you would consider necessary?
So that's what I suggested, that if we're dealing with, the question is why, how do we understand why a woman who's Einar Rolei Kaima doesn't get a knas? It's because we have the Torah makes a miut, that the women of this set of Einar Rolei Kaima, the knas is not coming to them. L'chora, this set of women has to precede the Aveira. That we say that when an Aveira is done to a woman of this set, when a woman of this set is Anusa, then she doesn't get a knas. So it has to precede, that status has to be a status. Masha Einkein, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, we pointed out that there's another way of learning the Gemara. Not Loti Elisha is a miut, but rather it's a package deal. On whom is the package deal? On Bezdin. When Bezdin gives the Onesh, it's all or nothing. Either the Onesh is going to be Knas and Loti Elisha, or if we can't have everything, it's going to be nothing. So at what point does Bezdin look at the situation? Post Avera. We pointed out that the Bezdin creates the Onesh. So if Beis Din is creating the Onesh, so as long as a woman is in that status post-Aveira, that's already enough. So that could be the Machlokas over here. In any case, what I'd like to do for a few minutes is try to understand the Shita of Ravashi. Again, I pointed out, not all Rishonim Paskin like Ravashi. Tosus quotes it as though there's nothing else on the books. But the Gemara over there has a Deya, who is a Rav Huna, Rav Chista, who says, Yotziya Beget. You know, and that's the way the Rambam Paskins. Yotziya Beget, that this marriage can't remain. This is a marriage of Iser. Kohen is not allowed to marry a Bu'ula and is not allowed to remain married to her. But Rav Ashi says that we have over here two women who are very, very similar. Both of their Isurim are learned out from the same Pasuk, Vehu Isha Be'Besulei Yikach. One of them, a Bu'ulas Acher, if we're dealing with a woman who slept with someone else, she can't get married and she has to be divorced. But Bu'ulas Atzmo, she can't get married, but she can remain married once she's already married. Why distinguish between the two? So I sent you to the Ritva in Yevamos. The Ritva in Yevamos asked this question. I put it on the page I gave you that we can read it together. Hachinami sofa liyos bulatach. The Gemara gives an explanation. Why can she remain married? Because that which occurred to her is going to be her future. She was, you know, she's getting married. She's going to be bu'ula tachtav. So the fact that he jumped the gun and was bo'al her before the marriage, that's not a reason to take her out of this marriage. The imtomar imkein afilu bu'ula sacherim temuteres lo b'di'evet desofaliyot bu'ula tachtav. She's not going to remain a besula forever. She's going to be a bu'ula post-marriage. So if she's going to be a bu'ula, ma'nafgamina pre-marriage, post-marriage, V'yeshlomar d'ro itmar hay taima, that this reason shetehib sofa bula tachtav elo bipsul she'en gnai shelo gnai gadol kagom bogeres mukas eitz bulas atzmo, namely that we have two types of women that the kohen gadol should not marry. One of them is considered to be a gnai gadol, the other is not considered to be a gnai gadol. When we have a Gnai Gadol, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't marry her, and if he married her, he should divorce her. When we have a situation of Ein Gnai Shelo Gnai Gadol, and he gives three examples, the example of the Bogeret, who simply is not no longer the Betula that is in mint condition because of her age, or mukas eitz, a woman who had an accident and that caused her betulim to no longer be there, or beulas atzmo, he was the one who took out her betulim. In those three cases, were he met to marry her, there would not be a gnai gadol. This would not be considered to be something that would shake up, that would make newspaper headlines, etc. So he shouldn't marry her, because we want the Kohen Gadol to be married to a wife who would be on an ideal plane in terms of Tahara and Kedusha, v'chulei, the Shlemus, as much as is possible. But if he marries her, he can remain married to her, because there was no external interference. Masha'ein Kane, if we're dealing with Bu'ulas Acher, this woman had already slept with someone before the Kohen Gadol, that's a G'nai Gadol. That's considered to be a union that is not meaningful for the Kohen Gadol to remain in this union, and therefore we would have the not only the Easter to get married, but also the Easter to remain married. And we have over here a Svara. We have a Svara. Is there anywhere else in Shas that you know that we distinguish between a G'nai Gadol and a situation of not a G'nai Gadol? Now, it's not a what we'll call a halachic distinction, but rather how it appears in the eyes of the world. Is this found anywhere else that you're aware of in Shas? I'm only asking you because I sent you to that sugya in another context. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask you from a Gemara in Tmura or a Gemara, even though it's precious, you should be Mekim in Tmura, and you know it's from Tosus as well. But do you remember where we came across this previously? The Gemara used the phrase pagam as opposed to gnai, but used the phrase pagam gadol. Excellent. By the rodef. If the rodef is running after a woman to rape her, whether this person is running after a woman to rape her has a status of a rodef or not depends as to whether this rape would be considered to be a gnai gadol or not a gnai gadol, a pagam gadol or not. If it's a pagam gadol, then we view the individual who's about to perpetrate it as a rodef. If not, then no. Namely, it's not a question of how the Torah views it as much as how the world were to view it, how the woman were to view it. Would this be a pigam gadol? Clearly, any situation is traumatic, but the Gemara uses the phrase over there. So over here also, perhaps this is the same concept. Then the Ritva just points out that we don't, that Pasku Rabosenu, the Rebbeim of the Ritva, namely Chachmei Sfarad, the Ramban, the Rashba, Vachule, the Ra'ah, less Ilchasa ke Ravashi. Even though Ravashi is usually viewed as Basra, he's the end of the line. But over here, we have Rav Huna saying in the name of Rav, Yotzi Beget, and the Svara of Ravashi is not a Svara that has a very powerful basis, and so the rabbos of the Ritva were not passing like Rav Ashi. Okay, but there is another approach as well. I saw it in two places. Rav Bednarsh put it on his Mari Makomot from an Achron, Rav Itzel Apanovitcher. And there's also a sefer that my son gave me, a Mari Makomot of someone who once upon a time gave Shiur Maksuvas. And he also has this approach that we'll look at the Mari Makomot that we have further on the page. That we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the Torah, sometimes wrote things in a positive manner to get to two different consequences. Let's say that the Torah tells us, "Kol tzipor tahora tochelu." That's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh. "Kol tzipor tahora tochelu." What does that pasuk mean? That there's a mitzvah asay to eat every kosher bird? That when you eat chicken Friday night, right? I assume you're Eretz Yisrael. So you eat chicken Friday night instead of meat. Right? You eat chicken Friday. You became a mitzvah asei mi d'oraisa of eating chicken, aside from the mitzvah midrabanan of Oneg Shabbos. Every time you eat chicken, are you became a mitzvah asei? Every time you eat a duck, are you became a mitzvah asei? Is that what the pasuk is telling us? No. So what is the pasuk telling us? The Torah says, "Kol tzipor Torah tochelu." The Torah puts it in a language of a tzivui. What you're pointing out is that not every tzivui is a mitzvah asay. What then is it if it's not a mitzvah asay?
It's telling you not to do, not to eat. Not
it's
to
telling you, michlal hein atashamei alav. The Torah, in other words, sometimes can say something negative in the positive. Michal lav atashomea hein, michal hein atashomea lav. Torah is telling us, if you eat an eagle, you're over an Iser. It's called an Iser Asay. Namely, or it's called, if you want to, a lav haba michlal Asay. Right? Those are two phrases that Chazal use. In other words, we have a mitzvah Asay. Sometimes when the Torah gives it tzivui, it's a mitzvah. And then we have an Iser Asay. Or sometimes this is called a lav haba michlal Asay. We have a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. We have a lav dressed in the Torah. I say, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes say a lav in a language of lo, lo tirtzach, lo tenach, and sometimes say it in this manner of kol tzipor torah tochelu? Or another example, dor shlishi yavo bekal Hashem. Does that mean there's a mitzvah asay to marry the grandchild of a Mitzri convert? You're not allowed to marry the Mitzri convert, and you're not allowed to marry the daughter of the Mitzri convert. But the third generation, Dor Shlishi, Yavo Bikal Hashem. Does that mean there's a mitzvah to go search, you know, Google search, I'm looking for, I wanted to become a super mitzvah. Not only a mitzvah of Kiddushin, but a mitzvah of marrying a granddaughter of a Mitzri convert. No, what is the Torah telling us? That the first two generations were usher. The Torah never tells us don't marry a Mitzri convert. The Torah tells us that don't, you're allowed to marry the third generation, meaning the implication is, don't marry the first generation, don't marry the second generation. Why would the Torah do that? Because of Malkos. Sometimes the Torah has two types of lavim. It has those lavim on which one gets Malkos. That's when the Torah uses the language of lo. And sometimes the Torah says, but there's not going to be Malkos. It's an Iser without Malkos. Then the Torah will write it as a language of Asay. Okay? Now, we have a pasuk, Bahu, namely the Kohen Gadol, Misha, Bibisu Leha, Yika. That's a pasuk in Parshas Emor. Bahu Isha Bibisu Leha Yika. What now are two ways of reading this pasuk? He should marry a basula. When he marries a basula, aside from the mitzvah of kedushin, that every person who is mekadesh nisha is mekayim. The Rambam passes the mitzvah asay of kedushin. He's also mekayim a mitzvah of marrying a basula, or
he shouldn't marry
a. Or he shouldn't marry a basula. So I sent you to the Rambam, and what do we find in the Rambam? In safe in the Yad HaChazaka. In his bottom line formulation, how does he formulate it? Mitzvahs asay al kohen gadol shiyisa nara besula. He's mekayim a mitzvahs asay. This is one of his mitzvahs that I'm not a kohen. I can't even think of becoming kohen gadol. I can't even mekayim this mitzvah. He can even mekayim this mitzvah when he gets married. However, the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which he wrote before he wrote the Yad HaChazaka, the one he wrote in Arabic and was translated, but here it's clear, it's not a question of translation. He should tziva kohen gadol shiyisa besula, the tzivui, v'hu amara v'hu yisha b'psula yikach, u'bir amru osa haya Rabbi Akiva mamzer afil michiyu ve'asei, u'bir uze kashaya kohen gadol ba'al bilti besula, shehi asura lao ba'asei, shashoresh etzleinu lav haba mechal asei, asei, v'hi kvar misbar hu mitzos asei, v'chulei, namely that the Rambam goes out of his way to tell us this is not a mitzvah asay, this is a lav haba michlal asay, that we're dealing over here with an iser as opposed to a mitzvah. So we have a distinction between the Rambam, what he wrote when he was younger, and the Rambam, what he wrote when he was older. It's not a stira. I understand that there is a very fine Rav in Yerushalayim who wrote his doctoral thesis for Bernard Revel on all of the differences between the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Yad HaChazaka. He has a list of some 30 differences where the Rambam changed his mind in, you know, between the mitzvahs asay and between his count in the Sefer HaMitzvos and what he paskin in the Mishnah Torah. So this is one of those instances. However, what over here is fascinating is, let's look at the psukim themselves. The psukim themselves, v'hu isha b'besuleha yikach, almana grusha chalala zonat elo lo yikach, ki im besula me amav yikach isha. Namely, what do we have over here in the psukim? When we're dealing with the world of besula? we have a
repetition.
And the Ramban was the one who caught this, and he said, "This is I'm not the one who caught this." The Ramban says, "The Sifri already caught it before me." Namely, that the what he points out is that elu ve'elu, that we have two psukim, we have two levels of tzivui. One level of tzivui is an iser aseh, and one level of tzivui is a mitzvah aseh. Once we have the Ramban pointing out, we can have this bifurcation. We have over here these two levels. How can you distinguish between Be'ulas Atzma, what did I write it up? No, Be'ulas Atzmo, and Be'ulas Acher. Right there, Rav Ashi said that in Be'ulas Acher, lo yikach, ve'im lokach, yigarish. And here, Be'ulas Atzmo, lo yikach, ve'im nasa, nasui. That's the language of Rav Ashi. How can we now distinguish between these two? We ask, what's the difference? So we saw the Ritva says, oh, this is a Pagam Gadol. This is not a Pagam Gadol. This is a Gnai Gadol. We say he shouldn't remain married. This is not a Gnai Gadol. He can remain married. But how can you distinguish on a halachic basis? No? Yes, Noach?
The Lab, the Israel.
By the Be'ulas Acher, we have two things. A, you're mavato la mitzvah aseh, and B, you're over on an iser aseh. You have this and that. But by the Be'ulas Atzmo, yitachem, that would only be a bitul of the mitzvah aseh. You wouldn't over here have an iser aseh. Namely, that we would have a distinction between these two. The mitzvah aseh is married, and this person is doing the wrong thing. He's marrying a woman who is not a besula. He's mevatel the aseh by both of them. But the iser aseh, to remain married to her, that would apply to the bulas acher, not to bulas acher. Namely, since we have over here, it's not that we have one pasuk that we're interpreting in two different ways. We have over here two psukim, yitachen, that according to Rav Ashi, again, not according to Rav Huna, but according to Rav Ashi, what he is saying is that the Be'ulas Acher, we have a double problem. A, we have a bitul a mitzvah aseh, and B, we have an iser aseh. But by the Be'ulas Atzmo, an emotional matter as to whether this is a gnai gadol in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of newspaper headlines, but rather a halachic distinction. That we can say that one of these Yisurim applies, while the other one, the Yisur HaSeh, doesn't apply, because he was the one who brought her into this status. Okay, so just pointing out that there are two ways over here of understanding Rav Ashi. Ech shelo yiyeh, whether this woman, the Be'ulas Atzmo, is called Roi Lekaima or Eino Roi Lekaima, could be a machlokes between Rashi and Benochananel. But again, we're working over here with Tosis's assumption that we're dealing over here on the level of a doraisa. Okay? That's what we have over here in Tosos on Lamed Amid Aleph. Let's go back for a few minutes to Daf Kaftes Amid Beis. We were dealing over there with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And we saw that Rabbi Akiva holds that the extent of Ein Kedushin Tofsim is much broader than Rav Shimon Hatimni, much broader than Rabbanan. It doesn't only apply to Chiyuvei Kares and Misas Bezdin, it even applies to Chiyuvei Lavin, maybe even to Chiyuvei Aseh. And the consequence is one of Mamzerut, that when we have a marriage where the Kedushim aren't Tosim, then we end up with Mamzerim. The Gemara also understands this as a two-way street. Namely, Rav Yeshover says, "Bo v'nitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef hayomer kol she'ein lo bia b'Yisrael havlad mamzer." That Rav Yeshover understood that everywhere where there's going to be a Vlad Mamzer, what is it going to tell us about the marriage? Ain't condition Tosin. Namely, it's a two-way statement. Totally ha baha. Tosis points out that this duality, this two-way statement, is true according to Rabbi Akiva. It's true according to Rav Shimon HaTimni, that the two go hand in hand. Wherever you have an Israel a lack of Kedushin, you have Mamzerus. Wherever you have Mamzerus, it implies we have a lack of Kedushin. It doesn't work out according to Rav Yehoshua. Rav Yehoshua, he distinguishes between the world of Krisus and Misos Bezdin, that in the world of, both in the world of Krisos and Misos Bezdin, we say that the Kedushin are not Tofes. However, there's only going to be Mamzerus in the world of Misas Bezdin. I sent you to the Sugya over there in Yevamos. The Sugya points out that all of these Shitos, we have three Shitos in terms of Mamzerut. Right, the Torah says, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. Who is this Mamzer? So we have two psukim before that. Lo Yikach. What's the language of the pasuk in the beginning? Lo Yikach. Thank you. Okay. Ish es eshes aviv. And then the pasuk continues. Velo Yigalech Knat aviv. This is Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. This is Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. And we have over here three Machlokes Rishonim that all of them see in this Pasuk the role model, if you want to call it that, for Mamzerut. All of them derive the criteria of Mamzerut from this Pasuk. That a person shouldn't marry the wife of his father, and he shouldn't symbolically uncover that which his father had covered. His father had watched over a particular woman and had given that woman a sense of security, and so this individual shouldn't butt in this area. What is included in Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv? So here, Rabbi Akiva says, Zo Anusat Aviv. If we have a woman who was raped by his father, then the son is not allowed to marry her. Zoanusatavi. Rav Shimon HaTimni, and this is the Shita of Rabbanan, and this is our Psak Halacha, says Zo Shomeret Yava. This is the father's sister-in-law. The father's brother passed away. There is this widow, the sister-in-law. That's the woman that Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv refers to. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, the Torah is giving us over here a synonym, that the Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv, that is the Eshet Aviv. We're talking over here about Eshet Aviv herself. We have no other additional word. So, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, this is a world of Misas Bezdin. Any marriage that would bring about Misas Bezdin, like a person marrying his father's wife, that's Misas Bezdin, that creates Mamzerus. Anything less than that, even Isure Kares, would not bring about Mamzerus, only Misas Bezdin. Comes along Rabbanan, and they say, no, Zo Shomeres Yavam. Shomeres Yavam is this young man's aunt. It's his father's brother's wife. You can't marry your aunt, that's an Isur Krisus. Anytime we have Krisus or Misas Bezdin, we're going to have a world of Mamzerus. We're expanding the world of Mamzerus. And according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not only Misas Bezdin, and it's not only Krisus, it also includes Lavin, Tiyuvei Lavin, Anusas Aviv, a woman that his father raped. There, we're dealing with a Lav. It comes under the Lav. Namely, that we're expanding the set of Mamzerus. We're expanding those Averos that bring themselves to the world of Mamzerus. Is it only Averos of a level of a Misas Bezdin, even those of Kares, or even those of Lavin? depending as to how you learn over here, this smichus parshios. Okay? So the Gemara points, so Tosus points out that according to Rabbi Akiva and Rav Shimon HaTimdi, we have a situation where we have a sentence you could read from either end. Any situation where you have mamzerus, you don't have tfisas kedushin. Any situation where you have where you don't have tfisas kedushin, you have mamzerus. That the two go, the two are tole habaha. The question is just what is the set which doesn't have tfisas kedushin? According to Rav Shimon HaTimdi, this is the set which lacks tfisas kedushin. According to Rabbi Akiva, even the cases of Lavin, and we saw even the cases of Asay, Vilo Yigalo. We have another Rigui. Even Yisurei Asay. All of these Yisurim create a situation where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, and therefore there is Mamzeris. They create a case where there's Mamzeris, and there's no Tfisas Kedushin. They go hand in hand. According to Rabbi Yoshua, it's a one-way statement. Wherever we have Mamzerus, then we have a situation of a lack of Tfisas Kedushin. But you can have cases where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, there's no Mamzerus. Every case of Kares, the whole Seif of our Mishnah. All of these cases of Kares, like getting married to one's aunt, Vechule, all of these cases, you have a situation where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, but Becholzot, there's no Mamzerus because of the Rebu. That's what we see. That's the background of our Tosfos, who says that according to Rav Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva, the connection between Mamzerus and Eat Fisas Kedushin, the lack of the wet marriage having any sort of a meaning, this is a two-way statement. Wherever you have X, you have Y. Wherever you have Y, you have X. Well, according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's only one way. Where you have Mamzerus, you don't have Tfisas Kedushin. But we have cases where there's no Tfisas Kedushin and there's no Mamzerus. Okay? And then Tosus gets involved in the Sugi and Tzmura. Yavid Lamahani doesn't fit in according to Rabbi Yeshua, because the Gemara over there is assuming a two-way track, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, we only have a one-way track. But here we have to clear a Chakira, because it's unclear whenever we have a connection. This is the language that Avner used to ask me a question last week. Are we dealing over here with a world of Siba, or are we dealing over here with a world of Siman? Namely, what exactly is this statement that when there's a lack of Kedushin, there is Mamzerus? Is this the reason there is Mamzerus? Or does the lack of Kedushin tell us something? Is it giving us a certain amount of background information that will explain to us why there is no Mamzerus? But really, the real reason is not found over here in these two phrases. The real reason is behind it. Each Fisas Kedushin is simply a Siman. This Chakira is raised by Rav Elchanan Wasserman. It's raised, he wrote a number of Svarim, one of them he wrote on Sefer Yevamos, that was probably the first one he wrote, Kovetz Biurim that we have, the one that's on Ksuvus, that was published posthumously. I think the Kovetz Ha'aros he published yet in his lifetime on Masechet Yevamos, and so in Masechet Yevamos, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, he raises this question. Do we say that what we have over here is a statement which all the necessary information is on the board? Whenever there is a lack of Kedushin, whenever you have a marriage that halachically can't get off the ground, is invalid halachically, that union is going to bring about a situation of Amzerus. This is the Siba. The reason we have Amzerus is because we have a marriage, someone goes ahead and lives with his neighbor's wife. Right, we have a situation of adultery, lo tin'ach, there is no tfisas kedushin, this woman's already taken, she's married, there's no room for an additional marriage, therefore the children are mamzerim. V'hu hadin, in other words, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, we have Yisurei Kares, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have Lavi Masei, the fact that the Torah doesn't sanctify this wedding, doesn't recognize this wedding, that's what brings about mamzerus. Or do we say as follows, that we have a world of erva, we have a world of arayos, And when you have arayos on the level of itfisas kedushin, that level of arayot, that level of forbidden marriages because of the nature of the relationship between the two parties, that's what brings about mamzerut. Namely, not every lack of kedushin is going to bring about mamzerut. Only when we have a situation of arayot, namely this woman klape party X is fine, but klape this person, we have an issue. This woman to her husband is muteret, but to another person is asura. This woman is muteret to the world, but not to her nephew. This woman is muteret to the world, but not to her son. This woman is muteret to the world, but not to her uncle. V'chulei, v'chulei. We have a whole list of arayot. And what the Torah is telling us, that in the world of arayot, we have different levels. We have levels of misas bezdin, we have a krisus, level of lavim. When we have an arayot which is stringent enough that it'll bring about itfisas kedushin, that'll bring about mamzerut. Namely, that the itfisas kedushin is a siman that we have over here a level of arayot chamur. My nafkamina, as soon as we see nafkamina, then everything would become clear. So we have a sotosis by us, quotes the sugya in Yevamos Andaf Memdalin Amad Beis, to the beginning of Memhei Amad Aleph, that what if we have a situation of an Eved or a Goy, sorry, Haba Al Bat Yisrael. Eved or a Goy Haba Al Bat Yisrael. A Jewish girl assimilates, intermarries with a Goy. Do we say that the result of that union is a mamzer or ain't a mamzer? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. Eved haba al bas Yisrael velado mamzer. Eved haba al bas Yisrael, Eved ovoy haba al bas Yisrael ain't velado mamzer. What over here are the two deos in the Gemara? How does it link in with what we spoke about earlier? If we say that we have over here a siba, wherever there is no tfisas kedushin, there's going to be mamzerut, what would you say about an eved or a goy haba al bat Yisrael? Certainly there's no tfisat kedushin. There ain't no b'nei kedushin. They're not shayach to get married, even to one another. When two goyim get married, that's not kedushin. There's not b'nei kedushin. If a goy goes over to a shiksa and says, Harayat makudesh etli, that's not meaningful. There's no kedushin. They're not shaykh to the world of kedushin. So if we say every situation where there's no kedushin is mamzerus, this is certainly a situation where there's no kedushin. However, if we say that mamzerus has nothing to do with kedushin per se, mamzerus is a result of a erva chamura. And again, erva, we're dealing with interpersonal relationships that depend upon who the parties are. So what is missing in the world of Eved and Goy? They're not. That's not a world of Erva. That's not a world of Erva. They're simply not B'nai Kedushin. They're not Shayach to the world of Kedushin, even among themselves. It's not for this one they're Mutter and for this one they're Aser. That's the world of Erva. The world of Erva is always a subjective world depending upon who the two parties are. There are forbidden unions for every individual depending as to whom. To whom, in other words, it is. Mashenken over here, these individuals are simply not in the parasha at all. And then there'd be no mamzerus over here because there's no erva to begin with. This would be Eved Haba Bas Yisrael. She'll be over a lav. Lo yeh kodesh b'nei Yisrael. There'll be a lav. There'll be malkos. But there's no mamzerus because there's no erva. We're not dealing with the world of arayot at all. Let me give you an example. The world of Nida. Would anyone say that the child, if a husband lives with his wife when she's a nida, that the child should be a mamzer? No. Why? Because that's not shayach to the world of itfisas kedushin. This is we're dealing with a permissible marriage. We're dealing with a permissible marriage. We have an Isur Bia during the third part of the month. It's not as though a woman is married and then 2 weeks she's not married and then she's married and 2 weeks she's not married. Chas v'shalom. In other words, we're dealing over there with an Isur Bia. Here we're dealing with an Isur Bia as well. This is, so our question is, but within the what over here is the reason that creates mamzerus? Is it that the ikvishas kedushin is a siba, or is it a siman? If it's a siba, that would apply over here. If it's a siman, then it wouldn't apply over here. Okay, so that's, you know, it's just to put the Tosfos in a framework. Tosfos is dealing with the shitos of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and Rabbi Yoshua, and pointing out that these Gemaras work out better according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. These don't work out to Rabbi Yoshua. And we pointed out that we have a two-way street, a one-way street, but there is a much more basic issue behind it all, and that is the two-way street, does it begin with each visas kedushin? Is that where it begins? Or is that simply a siman of something underlying which is much deeper that creates the world of mamzerut? And this over here would be the nafkamina. Okay? Okay. That's point number two. Okay. Okay. With this, let's go back, let's continue a bit in the Gemara on Daf Lamed. Okay, the Gemara points out, Amar Rav Chista, that's what we're up to, correct? Hakol modim beba'al hanida shemeshalim knas. Why? Gumando Amar Yeshba Havaya, if the Isha Ru'uya means that there is a marriage, not the Yeshba Havaya, the Nida certainly is shayach to the world of Kiddushin. There's no question that if a person were to be Mekadesh and Nida, that she'd be Mekudeshet. Lamanda Maria le Kayama, Haname Ruya le Kayama. Okay, so we have over here that within the Nida, clearly that we're there, even if we're going to say that Nida is a Chiyuv Kares, and we pointed out that in the world of Chiyuv Kares, we'll see in a minute that there is a Machlokes, but within the Tanoim that we've discussed up to now, Rav Shimon HaTimni, and Rav Shimon ben Asya, Hakol Modim, that she meets the criteria of Lo Tiyeh Le'isha, that she has Havaya, she is Roy Lekayama, v'chule. Okay? Then the Gemara continues that this all is La'afuke mi Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. This is La'afuke mi Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. What did Rav Nechunya ben Hakana say that goes against that which we have said? The Tanya of Nechunya ben Hakana haya oses yom ha-kipurim k'shabbos l'tashlumen. That we know that on Shabbos, if someone were to do an act that would bring about chiyuvei mamon, that he would not have to pay those chiyuvei mamon. Why? Ma Shabbos mischayev benafsha u'pater men ha-tashlumen, what we call kam lei b'derabba minei, that when you have two punishments on the table, a punishment of nefashos, of misas bezdin, and a punishment of mamon, we say the punishment of nefashos overrides the punishment of mamon. Mas Shabbos mischayev benafsha u'pater men ha-tashlumen. So if someone were to burn down someone's house on Shabbos by doing a malacha of lighting a fire, so since he's chayev misa for lighting the fire, he'd be potter for the tashlumen. Af Yom HaKippurim, where there is no misas bezdin, but what is there in Yom HaKippurim? Kares, mischayev benafsho. This is also a form of mischayev benafsho. It's a spiritual loss. Upater min hatashlumen, namely that we compare the spiritual death, the misa bidei shamayim, the kares, to misas bezdin. Just as we have a din of kamin bidrabini by misas bezdin, Rav Nechunya ben Hakana extends it to the world of Kares, correct? But what is La'afuke mi Rav Nechunya ben Hakana? What does Rashi say? La'afuke mi Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. Yes? What does Rashi say? Let's read it. La'afuke mi Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, masnisen de mechayev tashlumen rabo al achoso, af al pishe mechayev kores v'biyoso, that at this point in the Gemara, without giving us any warning, according to Rashi, sends us back to the Sefer of the Mishnah. ve'al eishes achiv, ve'al eishes achi aviv, ve'al hanida, in all of these situations, yesh lehem knas afal pi shehem bihikares, ein behem misas bezdin. That in all these situations we have a knas, because even though all these cases are cases of a knas, since there's no misas bezdin, there's no coming mid rabbin minay. This is lafuke mi rabbin chunya ben akana, who holds that in a world of knas, in a world of kares, there is no knas. In a world of kares, we also say that there's no tashlumei mama. That's how Rashi learned. Is that what you would call pshat in the Gemara? What would pshat in the Gemara be lafuke mi rabbin chunya ben akana? And who points this out? What?
Another Shimon.
Rib Shimon
has been
asking
that
Shimon to me.
Was that in Pashat
Pshat?
Is that?
Amar, who is Rafuke? Amar Rav Chista, Hakol Modim, Beval Hanida. Rav Chista's statement, Hakol Modim, that is Rafuke, Mirav Nechunya Ben Hakana. The fact that Rav Chista says that all those people who are in the halachic framework hold that Habo al Hanida is going to have the Knas, because what we have is Kares, and Kares doesn't exempt us from Knas. That's Rafuke Nechunya Ben Akona. That Rav Chista was not Gores, Rav Nechunya Ben Akona. That's the Rafuke. That's what Tosfos points out. V'yesh lomar de Rav Chista svirle de ein shum tana sover k'Rav Nechunya. Ulohachi kamar Rafuke. Ubekuntris pirish amas nisin koamafka min Rav Nechunya. In other words, it's so strange. Why did Rashi send this back to the Mishnah? Why can't we just read the Gemara as it's written in front of us? The Gemara dealt with Rav Shimon HaTimni, with Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. Then Rav Chista says that these two are the Hakol. These are the ones that we have to deal with when we paskin halacha. Do we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Menasseh or Rav Shimon HaTimni? But this is Lafuke. We don't even have to bring into account Rav Nechunya ben Akana. He's off the wall. We don't take his opinion into consideration on this matter. Okay? This is the Chor, that's the Chor Pshat in the Gemara. Why didn't Rashi learn that way? So the Pnei Yoshua was bothered by this. Pnei Yoshua generally tries to farem for Rashi from Tosis's questions. He gives a fascinating answer which will open up a window for us into Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, because we're going to be dealing with the world of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana and the world of Kamimid Rav Vinay. And so he gives us a bit of background information which would be very helpful. What he points out is that we have a Gemara in Pesachim that mentions Rav Nechunya ben Hakana as well. We're in Pesachim in the Yeshiva a number of years ago. That the Gemara in Pesachim, Adaf Kaf Tesem and Aleph, deals with the case of Achal Chametz, Shel Hekdesh B'Moed. That it's Pesach, and you're over here being over a double Avera. A, you're eating Chametz, and B, this Chametz happens to belong to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if you're going to eat Chametz, you know, you might as well eat Chametz of a Hedyot. You're eating Chametz of Hekdesh. Now, on the eating Chametz, we have an Iser of Karis. For being Nehenem in a Hekdesh, what is that called in a halacha? Me'ila. And here we have Karen, Chomesh, and an Osh. Okay? This is what... So the Gemara over there says that according to Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, you're pater min ha-me'ila. Why? Because the me'ila is a question of mamonos. And here we have kares. And this is the shita of Nechunya ben Akana. Whenever we have kares, that takes off the chi of mamanos. Just like Kamei Rav Minei, just like when you have a chi of Misas Bezdin, everyone agrees that takes off the chi of mamanos. So also, when you have kares, that takes off the chi of mamanos. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. Here, Rashi raises a question in the Gemara in Pesachim, and Tosfos was not bothered by the question at all. A little background material. Okay, this is background, but it's background of background. When we have a din of kamleid in the rabbanine, and we say that you're chayav misas bezdin, that patters you from mamon, here we're going to see, when we come to the sugya, that it's not only when actually bezdin is mechayev you. Even, let's say there's no bezdin. Nowadays, there's no bezdin to be mechayev machal al Shabbos. Someone were to be machal al Shabbos now and be chayev mamon, he'd still be parted from the mamon. Because the maisa aveira on which there is a chiyuv bezdin, that's what parters you from mamon. Namely, it's like if you come to a store that you want to buy, you want to buy a candy bar, and you take out a check for $1 million and you ask for change, right? So it's not shayach. In other words, the change is simply not shayach to $1 million. It's apples and oranges. You can't do such a thing. You have a chiyuv misa. You did a maisa aveira of misa, and we're talking about pitchikil change money. It's simply you're in a different realm. You're in a realm of chiyuvei misa. Whether you're going to actually be chayav misa or not, it's not a question of double jeopardy that we don't give you two punishments. The fact that you did an aveira, which is mechayev misa, that mamon is not on your table currently. Your soul is in a different place. It's dealing on a different dimension. Okay, hu hadin, we have what's called Tana de Bei Chizkiya. Tana de Bei Chizkiya say that even if you did that aveira of misas bezdin b'shogeg, also is not going to be a chiyuv mamon. Namely, the maisa aveira itself, cooking on Shabbos, any other chiyuv. Let's stick to cooking on Shabbos. Even if you didn't mean to cook on Shabbos, you were shogeg. You forgot it was Shabbos. You didn't realize that what you were doing is called cooking. You thought that this is not really cooking. All I'm doing is pouring some water in a tea bag. I'm not cooking. Right? That you didn't realize that this is usher. Who hadin? I'd say you poured water on my tea bag, right? So you now owe me a tea bag. So the halacha is you don't owe me the tea bag because you did a chiyuv, did a maisa that is a maisa aveira of misas bezdin, even b'shogeg, that takes us out of the realm of mama. The question is, by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, did he say his halacha only when you're over kares b'mezid, or even if you're over kares b'shogeg? Namely, the Tana de Bechizkiya that expands the din of coming b'dravinei, did Rav Nechunya ben Hakana also take that into account? That the Gemara doesn't talk about plainly. That's an halachos Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that Rav Nechunya ben Hakana is only in the case of mezid, and Tosfos says whatever we say by misas bezdin, we say by Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. What he did was he expanded the category of misas bezdin, and it's a package deal. So if you expand the category of misas bezdin to kares hu adin, in shogeg you're also going to be patur. Okay. So, therefore, let's go back now to our world of chametz. You ate chametz of hekdesh. And we said that according to the Nechunya ben Hakana, because there's kares on the table, you're potter from me'ila. But what unusual condition is there for me'ila? When do we say in me'ila that you pay keren chomesh v'asham? Only in shogeg. So, Tosus over here says, this Gemara is a riot to me. Wow, like, here we see. We're talking about a case of shogeg. Me'ila is a case of shogeg. And it says, the Rav Nechunya says, you're potter. So you see that the p'tur applies even to shogeg. Just like Tana de Bechizkiya, take the din of coming to Rabbi and apply it to shogeg. So Tosus says over there, the same thing. We apply it over here to shogeg and everything is fine and good. Rashi was aware of that shita. I mean, even though Rashi lived before Tosfos, right? But he was aware of that, so he preempted it. He stopped it, at the gate. He says, there are those that are going to be mistaken. And I'm going to say, you can see from this Gemara that Rav Nechunya ben Hakana said is then even in shogeg. But no, what they misunderstand it is that over here, he ate the chametz b'mezid. The kares was b'mezid. We're talking, we don't care about the me'ilah. What we care about is the eating of the chametz. The eating of the chametz, that he didn't b'mezid. That's why there's a chi of kares. That's why there's a p'tur of mamon. Not because we apply the p'tur of mamon even for kares b'shogeg. The case of eating chametz, that was done b'mezid. I mean, Rashi wants to maintain his shita. Tosas wants to maintain his shita. Okay, but that's their machlokas between Rashi and Tosas. Did Rav Nachunya ben Akana say his halacha only b'mezid? That's Rashi. Or even b'shogeg, that's Tosas.
Can you explain, what was Rashi's...
Rashi pointed out, you can't bring a proof from over here that we applied the dinner of Rav Nachunya ben Akana even to shogeg because me'ila is shogeg. Rav Nachunya ben Akana's halacha is on the kares. When you do the maisa that's going to bring you to an Easter kares, there were you mazid or shogeg. There you were mazid. You ate chametz b'mazid, you were unaware that it was hektish. You ate the chametz b'mezid, being unaware that it's hektish. Say nachinami. Mi'ilah is in the picture because you're unaware that it's hektish. But kares is in the picture because you ate chametz b'mezid. So this fits in according to Rashi as well. But the basic machlokes in Rashi and Tosas is, when are you going to use the p'tur of Rav Nachunya ben Akana? Only b'mezid or even b'shogeg. Now, with this background, why the Pnei Yoshua says, now you understand why Rashi said Lafuke Mimas Nisan. Rashi couldn't say the Rav Nachunya ben Akana says Hakol Modim Bebo Al Hanida that you're going to be Chayav Biknas, that this is Lafuke Rav Nachunya ben Akana, because maybe Rav Nachunya ben Akana would agree in that case according to Rashi. Why would Rav Nachunya agree that Abo Al Hanida Chayav Biknas? Because he could set up that Raisa as what situation? Shogeg. Habal Hanida b'shogeg. Even Rav Nachunya ben Akana would agree that you're chayav b'knas. There's no lafukeh Rav Nachunya ben Akana. That's a case that lends itself. Habal Hanida doesn't say how you're Bal Hanida. Assume why we're dealing with atu b'chatoy yaskina. We're dealing with people. We're doing averus on purpose. We're dealing with someone who was Baal Hanida, being unaware that she is a Nida. And that person would be chayav knas. Nachon, he's not a tzaddik. I mean, he's ones the woman, but he's not aware that she's a nida. He thinks that she's a tahora. So, and it turns out that she's a nida. So even Rav Nachunya ben Akana, according to Rashi, would agree you're chayav knas. So where do we have la'afukim and Rav Nachunya ben Akana? Where is it clear that we're talking about a case of mezid? So Rashi says, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, afal pi shehein bihi kares. We're dealing with cases where there's kares. There's no kares b'shogeg. Kares is b'mezid. Even though this person was aware, this is my aunt, this is my sister, this is my that, the person is aware, b'chol zot he is ba'alehem, then he is chayev knas. According to Rav Nachunya ben Akana, if you're chayev kares b'mezid, there's not going to be mamon. So the Mishnah is lafukim Rav Nachunya ben Akana, because the Mishnah is talking about a case of mezid. But the braisa of Rav Chisda, how do you see that's against Rav Nachunya ben Akana? That could be a case of shogeg. But according to Tosfos, he can learn the Gemara straight. Because Rav Nachunya ben Akana, according to Tosfos, said it didn't even be shogeg. So whether in the case on Daf Lamed it was mezid, whether it was shogeg, ech shelo yeh, it's lafukim Rav Nachunya ben Akana. Rav Nachunya ben Akana held that any person who does an aveira of kares, either be mezid or be shogeg, is pater from mama. Habal hanida, whether be mezid or be shogeg, he's doing an aveira of kares. And he should be pater from mamon. And Rav Chisda says he's chayef. I call modim that he's chayef. So you see, the Rav Chisda is not like Rav Nachunya ben Akana. So again, I'm not bringing this in for the, you know, words to understand necessarily over here the Pshat and the Gemara, but more that I want to give you a background of, you know, it's just an entree into Rav Nachunya ben Akana and into Kamay Midrav Nuntay. That we're going to be dealing basically on the level of the Maisa Aveira, not the technical issue as to whether it's a Michayef Misa, and Yitachain, even if this is done b'shogeg, everyone agrees. Anyway, agrees. We pass it like Tana the Bechizkiya in the world of Kamei Midrav Minei, that we extend the p'tur even to shogeg. As to whether we're going to apply that principle to Rav Nachunya ben Akana, that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Pnei Yoshua says it would have enough gamina over here how you read the Gemara. Rashi has to send us back to the Mishnah. Because from Rav Chisda, maybe that Rav Nachunya ben Akana would agree. If that case was a case of shogeg, there would be a knas. The Mishnah, you have no alternative. The Mishnah says, harei hein bihi kares. That's a case of mezid. However, Tosfos says, mainach gemina shogeg or mezid, Eshelia of the female Kona has a Ptur from Mammon. So Tosfos can read the Gemara very, very smoothly that this goes exactly on the previous Gemara. Okay. Did you get further than this? Have I passed you?
Yep.
So please tell me when I pass you. I don't want to pass you. But I'll stop over here, of course. So for next time, what I'd like you to do is just finish the Mar Makomos that I gave you. I'll give you some more as well. But get up to Ma'ika ben Rava La'abaye. Over here, we're dealing with a side point in the Gemara, a tangent. Namely, the Gemara is dealing with the world of Ason and brings in Yaakov Avinu. Or it's a Gemara simply technically. Where did Rav Nachunya come up with this that we can compare Misas Bezdin to Misas Shemayim? That we compare these two. So he brings the Gzera Shava, Ason. And within this framework, the Gemara deals with fear of travel, that Yaakov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin go to travel. What was exactly he was afraid of? And what is our view of why bad things happen to good people? Why do people get ill? Why do people die? Why do people are found in accidents? V'chule. Is there a human factor involved over here in terms of blame? How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the picture? Are there two different realms, a realm of nature and a realm of man? And this is Machlokes Rishonim and Achronim. So we'll just see three shitot: the shita of Tosfos by us, the shita of the Ritva that I photostated for you on the back of the Mar Makomos page. On the back of page, somewhere, on the back of page 7, I think it was, I thought I said it to you, a Ritva in Baba Basra. I think I did, yeah. And one Acher on the Kovetz Ha'aros, which will help us maybe understand Rashi. Namely, Rashi also has a Shita. Rashi, you know, it just says a Shita in one line. What exactly is three words? What does Rashi mean by those three words? So perhaps we can understand Rashi within the framework of the Kovetz Ha'aros. Perhaps not, but perhaps yes. Okay, so that would give us basically three approaches of the Rishonim. And this is all, again, just, you know, it's sort of a pause before the storm. You know, this is a, you know, a little bit of Kain Agadata. The Kovetz Ha'aros, I'm pointed out to you, was written by Rav Chanan Wasserman on Masechet Yevamot. But in the back of the Kovetz Ha'aros, there is a liquid of Biurei Agadot. It was reprinted, there is a very well, much more well-known sefer by Rav Chanan Wasserman called Kovetz Ma'amarim, where he talks about Ikvas Ad Meshicha, etc. It's considered to be classic Yeshiva Shashkafa. And so they reprinted, you know, it's these Biurei Agada in that Kovetz Ma'amarim. But it's all the same. So you should just be happy. Originally, I took one off the shelf that was Rashi script, and I printed it. And then I saw we have another edition which has black print. So I just made another, you know, maybe at least that I could do for you. Right? At least to make, if you have to work so hard to understand my handwriting, at least be able to read that which has already been published in black print. Okay, so that Bli Neder we will begin with on Tzom Gedalia, okay, after Shir there's with Daven Mincha Tzom Gedalia Daven Mincha Gedola, Emir Tzah Hashem, okay, so you should have bracha v'hatzlacha. I'll see you around the Beis Medrash, but I just want to ask Mechila if someone wanted to ask a question, I didn't let him. Someone asked a question and I pushed it off, and it was really a wonderful question. Or someone who's afraid to ask a question. I've asked Mechila on all of those points, on all of, and for anything else I may have done or not done. And Yitzhak Hashem, we should all have a Ksiva Chsima Tova.
Excuse me? The name of Shul Rebbe quoted is Nisak.
Oh, here.
Sorry.